When a young couple gets married, and probably for the many months following their when they're getting married, when they're when many months following when they get married, probably in the Sephardi world, the most common thing that they hear after hearing Be'ezat Hashem for you for so long, the most common thing that they hear is Ben Zachar. You should be zochet to have a Ben Zachar. So bad bath the poor people who, when they have a daughter first, how they didn't get the beracha. The first baby they had was a daughter. I'm sure there's some people in the room who can relate. It was probably a big letdown for them, but they should know that it's not such a letdown. The Gemara says in Masechet Bava Batra that bat techila siman yafel banim. Having a daughter first is a good sign for boys. So it's on the one hand, it seems like a cheap misogynist statement that, you know, okay, Nebuch, you've had a daughter, you'll have a boy soon. It's okay. It's a good siman for having a boy. But Be'emet Ben Ishchai says. And then Ishai says that Chazal did not make such cheap shots. Every nugget of Gemara, every statement of Chachamenu Zecharon Lebracha is laden with nuggets, practical nuggets for us to take with us as tools in our Avodat Hashem. And the Ben Ishai explained as follows. There are some people who interpret the Gemara, some Mefarshim interpret the Gemara like this. That, oh, if you have a daughter first, it's good for you. By the way, this is a very Ashkenazi pshat. You might disagree with this, but that's because you're Sfaradi. If you have a daughter first, it's good for you, because when you marry her off, the Chassin's family is going to ask you for such high things, such grand demands, like an apartment and the massive support for 3 years in the Kollel. So if you had a son first, you wouldn't know what to ask for. You have a daughter, you let the other side abuse you, so that when your sons get married, you know how to abuse the other side also. It's a learning experience for you with your daughter. That's one pshat, he says, but that doesn't help us in our Avodat Hashem. His words. I'm just reading you what it says. The words that he said, Shabbat HaGadol. He said this Shabbat HaGadol 140 years ago, 139 years ago, the Ben Ishchai. His Talmid Rav Shimon Agassi, Rechov Agassi in Har Nof, is named after Rav Shimon Agassi. His Talmid records the story in his Sefer. So the Ben Ishchai said, I have a better answer for you. The Magid Midubna, also Ashkenazi, has the Modernish Pshat. So the Magid Midubna says like this. He asks a different question. We know that there are four people who lived until Me'ev Esrim Shana. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva Ben Yosef, Hillel HaZaken, and Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Three of the four of them, but really all four of them, had lives that you could break into three. Moshe Rabbeinu came back to Mitzrayim at age 80, but you could have broken it up to three, also fine. But Rabbi Akiva, Hillel HaZaken, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai worked for 40 years. They worked for 40 years, the first third of their lives. They learned for 40 years, and then they taught for 40 years. You would think, says the Magid Midubna, the Dubna Magid says, you would think that if I wanted to raise the people who are so pivotal in the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, people who are so important for teaching us Torah, you would want them to learn their entire lives. Nebuch, they had to go to work for 40 years. Ach, they had to go to college, they had to go to work. What is this? If only, halavai, they had been learning their entire lives. Why is it that the Ribono Shel Olam set it up that way, says the Magid Midubna? It's a little bit strange. These people are so important. Rabbi Akiva and Yosef, all of our Torah Shabbat HaPeh comes from Rabbi Akiva. And he had to work for 40 years. Can you imagine how much more Torah we would have had if he had learned for another 40 years? Says the Magid Midubna, no. It was important that it happened this way specifically. He says, gives a mashal to a wealthy businessman who needs an administrative assistant. And he has two candidates for his assistant. One is a former assistant for another person. And the other candidate is a former businessman who is, you know, the tides turned on his business and it went under, and now he's looking for an assistant position, not as the lead, but as an administrative assistant. So the wealthy businessman picks the latter. He picks the former businessman, not the former assistant, but the former businessman. Because the former assistant, he doesn't know what it's like to kill himself to make a living. He's just an assistant. He just helps. The former businessman knows what it's like to take risks. He knows what it's like to push himself and to push his limits and to figure out how much of a risk he has to take. People stay up all night long to do work. They travel far away. They do all sorts of crazy, risky things. And this guy has the experience. He knows what it's like. So he'll be more effective of an assistant to me because he knows what I'm going to be doing and he'll be helping me do it too. The Nimshal says the Magid Midubna is like this. In this world, there are two asakim. There are two enterprises we can entertain. We can invest our time in. There's olam hazeh, and there's olam haba. Olam hazeh, we all know. We work hard. We go to college. We a grueling schedule, and we push ourselves. We say we don't let the weather get in our way. We don't let anything get in our way. And people are in Manhattan trying to sell buildings, they're cold call until 10, 11 o'clock at night just because they want to make a deal. You would never do such a thing if you had your mind on straight. But they need to make, they want to make a living, so they're working in Olam Hazeh. Shalomah Melech says in Mishlei, "Mtivakshena kekesef, kimatmanim techapsena, ve'az tavin yirat Hashem." If you seek out money, you're like really lahut, really, really fiery, for running after money, then you'll understand what Yirat Shamayim is all about. Because that's what you should be doing for Ribono Shel Olam. When it comes to Olam Haba, though, when it comes to working on Olam Haba, the Yetzer Hara says, no! Habibi, it says, V'chai Bahem. You have to be normal. V'nishmartem me'olam ashotechem. Take care of yourself. Exercise. Hang out. Relax. Chill. Don't be so crazy. It's okay. Take a break here and there. Go have lunch. Don't stop learning. Go have lunch. Go have dinner. Go to sleep at regular time. Wake up at regular time. But the guys who have to go to dental school, the guys who have to go to finance jobs, are at their desks or at their schools at 8 in the morning. Where are we at 8 in the morning? I woke up for the 7:45 vinyan. No, the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah tries its best to get us to stop. So Ribono Shel Olam set it up in such a way for these four Gedolim, these three Gedolim, who were so pivotal in the Mesorah, the tradition of Klal Yisrael and Torah Mitzvot, that they should first work for 40 years so that they understand their limits. They understand the superhuman powers that they had to work at an incredible rate that's above and beyond what a normal human being can do. And then once they get turned on to Torah, that's when they understand I can do this for Hashem also. That's why these three people, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Hillel Zaken, and Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, all had to work first so they could understand what it was like, what they can do, so that they shouldn't be cajoled by their Yetzirah to say, no, I shouldn't work so hard when it comes to Avodat Hashem. And that's what it means, Siman Yafe Lebanot, or Siman Yafe, Bat Techila, Siman Yafe Lebanim. Because a bat, we know in Kabbalah, the female is always the receiver, and the male is always the giver. In Olam Hazeh, is the female. Olam Haba is the male. Because Olam Hazeh, you're only going to get something out of it if you put work into it. You have to give, it receives. That's why it's the female. The Gemara says how a person always has to check his business. He always has to check his investments. Every day you have to go take a look. You can't autopilot a parnasa in this world. It's not so simple. Maybe if your parents set you up. But otherwise, you can't autopilot a business in this world. And who knows how long that will last anyway. When it comes to Olam Haba, Olam Haba gives you. The more you do Torah mitzvot, the more it gives you. That's why it's the male. So bat techila, if you work on Olam Hazeh first, it's a siman yafe levanim. It helps you with your Olam Haba. And it teaches you how to handle your Olam Haba. I remember Rabbi Yonatan Sacks, when I was in Shalavim, he was still in YU at the time, then he switched to Landers. I remember he had a very, very poignant point when I was talking to him after the Tish on Friday night, or Leil Shabbat dinner. He said how people stay up all night long and they don't leave the library for days when it comes to studying for the MCATs. But when it comes to Bava Kamma, for some reason it's not as important to them. For some reason. But the point of this nugget, this line in Chazal, is not to mess with women. It's to teach us, no, take Torah just as seriously. The same way you were willing to go to do really intense and risky things for Olam Hazeh, you have to be ready to do it for Torah as well. Midterms are coming, finals are coming. In this yeshiva, they increase the library hours. But when it's before Bechina, do we increase the Beit Midrash hours? Do we, even if without a Bechina, we know we can do it. We watch ourselves during midterms and finals. I mean, how intense we work. Just like we work intensely for that, we have to work intensely for Torah. People don't leave the library. People are staying up all night long, sometimes not even going to Minyan, unfortunately. Not saying you should do that to learn Torah, but the fact that you're literally learning, that ability to do that with such hatmadan, to put everything else aside, does not only exist in Olam HaYuniversity, it also has to exist in Olam HaYeshiva. And it's not just in Olam HaYuniversity. It's going to happen throughout our careers, and whatever we do. And The fact that we're here, I heard Rav Ezra Schwartz once say, is such an opportunity to learn how to balance. Because if you don't, if you go to a yeshiva where you're doing nights, not doing nights, you're going to college, you're not going to be able to know how to do night sitter when you have a wife and kids and a family and you've been working all day long. But now that you can do morning seder, college, night seder, and be able to balance having both of them and having time off and etc., it really trains you for life. And with the balancing training we get now, with Y and the U, by pushing ourselves to do our best in both, knowing our limits and knowing what we can accomplish, it'll help us and teach us throughout life to make sure that we can maximize our potential. Have a great day, everybody. All the Ben Ishkai. I didn't edit. I didn't really edit. Thank you, Fanny. Wow, that was very long. I'm sorry, everybody.